From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Small muscle athletes. In the medical field, that's the term for musicians. Musicians are prone to a range of injuries. It's a pitfall of the profession. But unlike their large muscle counterparts, musicians don't get much proactive attention when it comes to pain.
I mean, even at the high school level, most sports teams will have a trainer on the sidelines. There's nobody in the wings at the BSO saying, "Oh, we practiced too long today," or repeated that passage too many times.
Raymond Wittstadt and Scott Brown, two doctors who specialize in treating musicians, join us. Which instrument is hardest on the human body? Should classical instruments be redesigned with ergonomics in mind? How can musicians avoid injury? It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Take a listen to this violin piece and try to visualize the speed and precision required of the musician. That was a section from a notoriously difficult piece by the violin virtuoso Niccolo Paganini, Nel cor più non mi sento. Paganini was said to have exceptionally flexible hands. Today, we're talking about musicians with normal extremities and the demands their profession puts on their bodies. At some point in their careers, the vast majority of professional musicians experience some sort of pain, in some cases debilitating pain, stemming from their performance. My guests today are two doctors who focus on treating musicians. Dr. Raymond Wittstadt is attending hand surgeon at the Curtis National Hand Center at MedStar Union Memorial Hospital. He has held a monthly musician's clinic at the center for more than 15 years, and his patients include members of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
And Dr. Scott Brown is the chief of the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Sinai Hospital of Baltimore and LifeBridge Health. He also treats professional musicians. And for the past decade, he has taught a class at the Peabody Institute titled Anatomy and Injury Prevention for Musicians. Welcome to the program, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
Dr. Wittstadt, what are the most common injuries you see with musician patients?
They fall into a broad category, but most of the injuries we see are related to, as you might expect, overuse of their hands and wrists, obviously other parts of their body as well. Musicians are prone to all the normal problems that anybody could get, but obviously they're a select group of people that are doing supernormal activity with their...
Supernormal activity.
So... we think of musicians as what we call the small muscle athletes. So you have professional athletes that are doing supernormal things with their bodies on a playing field, and now we have musicians, and there are far more professional musicians than there are professional athletes, and they're doing supernormal things with their hands and arms and, of course, their whole body to varying degrees, and they get the wear and tear that goes along with that.
And, of course, when we think of professional athletes, we think of training that they do to prevent injury as well as just to get good at what they're doing. Does musicians' rehearsal fit that bill?
Absolutely. And, in fact, it's often exceeds what a typical athlete would do. Say a high school, college athlete or practicing after school for 2 or 3 hours, well... professional musician or student musician would certainly be doing that while they're at school, and then they're, of course, they're going home and practicing again, and then, of course, they're doing other hand-intensive activities that they have to do, typing, writing, day-to-day living, all of which involves their upper extremities usually.
But what I was trying to get at is we think of athletes on the football field being aware of training to avoid injury. And is that happening with musicians?
In general, I'd say not to the same degree. It's certainly been emerging over the past 20, 30 years that musicians do sustain a high level of injuries. I mean, even at the high school level, most sports teams will have a trainer or somebody on the sidelines, you know, looking at the athletes and ready to check on them right away. There's nobody in the wings at the BSO saying, oh, take it easy, you're doing too much there, or we've practiced too long today, or we repeated that passage too many times in a row. And these are all things that can certainly lead to injuries among professional musicians.
Dr. Brown, you have taught injury prevention at the Peabody Institute for a decade. Can I assume that your students tend to be young and less prone to injury?
I wouldn't necessarily say that they're less prone to injury. There are a whole different set of stresses for student musicians. And in fact, one of the primary risk factors for developing a problem is when you've not been playing very much and then return to playing excessively, that may be the most common mechanism for developing a problem. And students are particularly prone to that when they have summer or winter breaks, lay off a little bit, and then a semester starts, and they go right back into their very high level, high demand, high number of hours per day of playing.
I assume most of your students at the Peabody have been playing their instruments since they were children. So is there a problem with breaking bad habits?
That can be a problem. The habits, though, are a little less what we might call pedagogical, so it's not really my place to tell them whether they're playing their instrument correctly. This can sometimes be an issue between the student and their teacher. But I would have to say that at Peabody, in general, the culture is one of awareness of this problem. And so I think much of the faculty is attentive to the notion of proper playing habits and playing technique. So my focus is really on prevention and health maintenance and general concepts of proper motion, proper body mechanics, things like warming up, cooling down, how to stretch properly, how to pace your playing.
How common is it for conservatories to teach injury prevention?
Right now, it's not very common. There are very few formal music schools and conservatories that have a formal curriculum in this area.
Dr. Wistedt, tell me about this monthly musicians clinic that you run. What goes on there?
It started a number of years ago. One of my mentors, who was also particularly interested in taking care of this rather unique group of individuals that are often frustrating to physicians that are not familiar with their care. You know, although a musician will come in and say their hand hurts or their wrist hurts, that's almost never where the problem is. Yes, they're having some pain at their hand, but it's usually because they're compensating for a problem somewhere else, either weakness in their arm or their shoulder or their back, or they're using excessive tension. So these things are not easily determined in a routine office visit. You know, you go to your doctor and they're examining you at the table, and you're not really
the place where you say the pain is.
Right, and they look at it and they say, well, it doesn't hurt, it's not swollen maybe, or whatever, not readily apparent, so they don't have very good suggestions. You really need to see the person play to determine really what's going on, because they have very different postures. Someone might be sitting in one position and then you ask them to play and they assume a whole other posture, and that puts a whole different stress on various muscles. So this is a clinic that we started to allow them that opportunity. It's in the evening. We get to watch people play. They come in, we hear about their stories and what kind of problems they're having, and then we usually have them play. We have a piano there, and most of the time they can bring their instrument. And we have some therapists as well. So we all get to observe the individual playing. And that's the key to determining what's really going on, how much force they're applying, how much stress they're under, what tensions on their placing on different muscles. And these are things you just can't determine in a normal doctor's visit.
And do all kinds of musicians come?
You know, string players are probably the most commonly injured individuals, but all musicians are somewhat prone to it. You know, wind players and percussionists can overuse their hands as well. Wind musicians obviously can have problems, you know, respiratory or their lungs, what we call embouchure, how their lips form around the mouthpiece can be a problem. But We tend to focus mostly on upper extremity. I'm as an upper extremity specialist, but part of the reason I like it is that it takes me back to my orthopedic roots and that I have to check really their whole body. I got to check their spine, their pelvis, their legs, how they're standing, how flexible they are or how tense they are.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with hand surgeon Dr. Raymond Wittstadt and physiatrist Dr. Scott Brown. That's a new word to me, physiatrist. This means you deal with physical therapy?
Well, physical therapy is one of the disciplines that we work with. A physiatrist or physiatrist is a physician who specializes in the medical specialty of physical medicine and rehabilitation.
Dr. Wittstadt, when did the medical community begin to pay attention to these small muscle athletes who are musicians?
Probably in the 70s, I think. One of the first clinics in the country was at Northwestern University in Chicago, and it spread from there. There's now an organization called the Performing Arts Medicine Association, and they have a list of a variety of clinics that have now sprung up around the country. Most big cities probably have some physicians anyway that are interested in it.
How did you get interested in treating musicians? Are you a musician yourself?
Well, of a sort, yes. I took piano lessons for a lot of years when I was a kid, and then in college many years ago, did a band thing, and that was many years ago. And then life intervened, but recently I've got together with some other doctors at our hand center, and we have a little band that we play at different office parties and things. I have some idea of what they're going through. I certainly don't practice 2 or 3 hours a day, that's for sure.
And Dr. Brown, what about you?
Well, I mostly play for my own amusement, so I really
play
wouldn't
piano.
Say. Play piano, yes. Mm-hmm.
What kind of piano?
Jazz piano. Early jazz piano is my particular interest.
Early jazz piano.
So 20s and 30s.
So how does that inform the work that you do?
Well, I can tell you how I became aware of performing arts medicine. I was a senior medical student, and I was doing an elective in the specialty that I ultimately entered, physical medicine and rehab. And my preceptor at the time pointed out to me that there was a new medical journal devoted to the medical problems of performing artists. And around that same time, there was a prominent article in Life magazine about two American pianists who had developed significant hand problems just by virtue of their playing. And so that kind of piqued my interest in the notion that this was a whole group of people who really didn't have a robust medical community looking out for them. And I had an interest in music, so it seemed to relate.
What skills does a doctor who treats professional musicians need over and above typical training?
I think there are two. I think it's helpful to have some understanding of music, musicianship, and at least an understanding of most of the instruments and their demands. And I also think that it's important to be a good listener, because as Dr. Wittstadt pointed out, the site of the pain is usually not where the root of the problem is. And so it can take a little time, and you really need to listen, as you need to do for all your patients, but in particular with musicians whose problems can be very subtle. And thrown into this general category of overuse syndromes, it's really important to tease out what precisely might be going on.
We have to take a quick break here. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Scott Brown, who heads the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Sinai Hospital, and with Union Memorial hand surgeon Dr. Raymond Wittstadt. When we come back, we'll hear more about what the medical field is doing for musicians. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about musicians and their maladies. My guests, Union Memorial hand surgeon Dr. Raymond Wittstadt and Dr. Scott Brown, who heads the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Sinai Hospital, both specialize in treating the injuries that can result from a physically arduous career in music. Dr. Wittstadt, is discretion an important part of your work with performers? I can imagine that a rising star might not particularly want people to know that she's coping with pain?
Yeah, that's part of the culture, so to speak. You have to suffer for your craft. So a lot of it can be held under the table, or people don't seek treatment until they're really totally unable to play sometimes. And that's frustrating. Unlike, again, athletes who are expected, I guess, to have injuries and to some degree and readily seek treatment, you know, when necessary. So that's been a problem, educating the musical community as well, that, yeah, these problems exist and they can be treated and they're not usually career-ending type stuff, and it's okay to say I'm hurt.
Which instrument would you say is the most difficult on the body?
You know, I'm going to say the harp. And I know people say, wow, the harp, how do you think of that? And I say, well, if you've never tried to play a harp, it's really hard to pluck those strings and get some decent sound out of it. Obviously, it's not a very common instrument. But again, as I said before, string players of all types are the most prone. We certainly see probably violinists and pianists probably more so than other types.
And are there mistakes common to the players of many instruments, or does each instrument come with its own set of potential injuries?
There are some things that might be peculiar to each instrument, but most of the problems result, as Dr. Brown said earlier, is really not paying attention to what you might call common sense things. Like if I ask you to do 100 push-ups in a row, you're going to say, wow, that seems like a lot, and I better train for that. But you're going to sit down and play the piano for 2 hours and practice pretty hard, and you don't really warm up, you don't take a break, you don't really cool down, you practice the same thing over and over and, you know, use the same muscles over and over. So that sense that there's some limits to your body, or that you have to accommodate these normal physiologic responses, is still being, I guess, expanded or spread throughout this type of world, you know, musicianship world.
Dr. Brown, what piece of advice do you find yourself giving to your patients most often?
Well, I think one of the most common frustrations for musicians who come to see me if they're already injured is their concern that they won't be able to do anything with their instrument. And so one element of the treatment plan is usually to utilize a concept that we call relative rest. So it's really often devastating to a musician if they're told, well, you just have to stop playing potentially for months. So we try to construct a rehabilitation plan that includes, even if it's just for a few minutes at a time, some contact with their instrument. So I will write out a particular playing schedule. Depending on the nature of their injury and how severe it might be, I'll even prescribe to them what type of repertoire they should play. So something from just simple scales to pieces that they know by rote, and just start with those pieces and literally play for 60 seconds or 120 seconds. I tell them to get a kitchen timer and literally set the timer for 2 minutes and play that light level type playing and then stop and then take a break for a period of time. And I'll write out a schedule and then very slowly increase the time frames for playing while they may be going through some formal treatment for the particular problem.
I don't know. I guess I think that obsessiveness tends to be rewarded in the field of music. Are your patients resistant to taking a break from playing?
I think that can be a challenging recommendation for many of them. One of the things that we ask about is what are the demands that are coming up for them? So do they have commitments that they've made for playing, or if they're students, do they have juries or auditions? And sometimes we'll try to tailor the playing activity around those, encourage them to talk to their teachers to see if there's alternate repertoire that they could play. So it's not a trivial point to discuss the playing demands.
On WIPR, this is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with physiatrist Dr. Scott Brown and hand surgeon Dr. Raymond Wittstadt. Both doctors treat the ailments of professional musicians. Dr. Wittstadt, is there something inherently risky about the design of certain instruments? I'm still absorbing the news that the harp is a big challenge because it sounds so peaceful.
Well, you know, the design of the classical instruments, violin, viola, cello, you know, double bass, you know, have come down for the past 400 or 500 years. They really have not changed. They are certainly not ergonomically friendly, any of them, in terms of the position that your hand has to assume to play them, especially at a high level. There have been attempts to modify these instruments. Like on a standard electric guitar, you have this cutout at the top where you can get to the higher notes without having to really flex your wrist a lot. And there are designs of violins and violas similarly. But you're overcoming hundreds of years of tradition.
Do you have a sense from conversations you've had with musicians, is it the tradition in itself, or is the challenge of that flexed wrist to get around to the place it needs to get around to make those notes pure and clear, is that challenge something they think, hey, the last generation did it, I'm not going to say this generation should be able to bypass that challenge?
Well, that's part of it. You know, if it's good enough for Paganini or, you know, Liszt or Mozart, then it must be good enough for you. That's definitely something that's slowly changing, you know, just in our other world, you know, people that type for a living and on computers all the time or texting or all the other things that we've come to learn about modern instruments that might be amenable to change to minimize the stress. There are a few instrument makers. I mean, these are very custom-made instruments usually now. There's nobody I'm aware of that does mass production of these altered instruments that would be more ergonomically friendly. So they're rather expensive, certainly not available to, the average, say, student or the average musician.
Do more difficult pieces of music take a greater toll, or is it more about excessive practice, about the repetitions? Dr. Brown?
Well, it can be both, but certainly the excessive practice and also playing for long durations without taking a break. That's a particular risk factor, because no matter how well conditioned you are, at some point your body is going to begin to fatigue. And when you begin to fatigue, if you try to maintain a level of activity at the same high level, you're going to need to use muscles that you wouldn't ordinarily use. And I think that's the big risk for developing these sorts of muscle strain injuries.
Are there ways to practice that are less intensive, like, say, touching the strings instead of actually playing them?
That's a very complex question, because the general recommendation from teachers and even from music medicine professionals is to try to encourage musicians to play relaxed. Well, what does that mean? It means having a sense of what your body is doing so you're not using excessive muscle force, excessive energy. And it all relates to how you know what your body is doing in space. And that's sort of a very complex interaction of all your sensory functions feeding information back to your brain. And of course, when you're playing an instrument, there's lots of sensory input going back to your brain. And without a perception of what's happening with your body in response to all that sensory information, you can tend to press strings too hard, use excess muscle energy for a particular activity. Those are also pretty big risk factors.
It sounds incredibly complex. Are we going to collectively get smarter at this? You talked about how it's really just been a generation or so that medicine has been paying attention to musicians as
there have been several
patients.
Famous people. Leon Fleischer was a world-class pianist, as you know, in the 60s, and he, from over-practicing the same piece of music many times, he developed a rather unusual problem called focal dystonia, where he lost control of his fourth and fifth fingers of his right hand so that they would not do what his brain was telling them to do. They would spasm uncontrollably. So that more or less ended his professional or performing career, and he, with recent changes, development of Botox and some other types of therapy, he's actually regained some function in that hand. So because of someone like that, just as other celebrities who have breast cancer or some other problem have brought it to light, so people start thinking about it and saying, well, God, if he can do it, well, okay, then I can admit that I'm having a problem too and therefore need to have it treated before it got to the point where it ended, you know, my career.
So what words of advice would you leave amateur musicians with?
You can't practice for hours at a time. I usually recommend a standard practice regimen. You spend 5 minutes warming up away from your instrument, do your big muscles. You walk up and down the steps a few times. You do a few jumping jacks or deep knee bends or something like that, just for a few minutes. Don't get all hot and sweaty. You can play for 40 to 45 minutes. Set a timer if you have to, and then you get up and take a break. You put your instrument down and go off and do something else for 10 minutes. And that doesn't mean go type and text your friends and do some other hand-intensive activity. So there's your hour. And then you can repeat that cycle again. Get your 2 to 3 hours in of practice doing something like that.
Any advice you would add, Dr. Brown?
I think that I would urge musicians to be aware of their bodies so that if they do begin to develop a problem, discuss it with their teacher. Think about whether they should see someone for it. It's always a mistake to play through pain, and that's a very common problem with musicians. So that would be another big piece of advice that I would give to musicians, would be not to do that.
We will leave it there. I appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Raymond Wittstadt is attending hand surgeon at the Curtis National Hand Center at MedStar Union Memorial Hospital. He holds a monthly musician's clinic at the center, and he's the first practicing physician in Maryland to hold a credentialing certificate in performing arts medicine. Dr. Scott Brown is the chief of the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Sinai Hospital of Baltimore and LifeBridge Health. He teaches a class at the Peabody Institute titled Anatomy and Injury Prevention for Musicians. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow.